Move that up. Get out of my nose area. All right. You good? I'm good. Review. Time to review. At work, when I present, I have a window in the back of the room that I use to see my slides, but I can't do it. The way it looks like I know what's going on behind me. Scripture.
God's word.
It's God's word and how he reveals himself. And then we know of God and the Holy Trinity. Three in one, yes. One what?
Only living, true,
eternal, perfect God. And he is one. Say it loud.
One God, three persons.
One God, three persons. This is part of a confession. It's supposed to do out loud. What's God's decree? He has predetermined all things. He knows. That goes back to, I put the he knows in there, because if you have studied the first catechism or children's catechism with cartoons, does God know all things? Does God know all things?
Yes.
Nothing can be hid from God. There you go. We're going back. That's like question three. Yes, nothing can be hid from God. Creation. Good. Loopy's got the first part. And it was all good. We got that one. Good. And then providence. Our founding fathers were keen on this. God's in absolute, complete, total, totes control. And he is in control and he's looking out for our good. It's for his, he has our protective care in mind. All right. So then we went through the chapter 6.1. And we change it to our first parents being led astray by the craftiness and invitation to do something wrong of Satan. Sinned again by eating the not allowed fruit. This, their sin, God was pleased according to his wise and holy advice and instruction to allow, having planned to use for his own glory. So we've got section one done. The summary is our first parents sinned, and God allowed that sin for his own glory. Then we went through 6.2, which says, by this sin they
dropped down into a lower position
from their original actions or acting in line with God's law and
closeness
with God, and became dead in sin and together, doomed together. Totally made dirty in all the, think about handicap, abilities and parts of the soul and body. Okay. A little peek at this morning. Our summary was we as humans went from right to not right, meaning in terms of God's law, the baseline. So we spiritually died because of our sin and we got totally dirty. Then we went through authority. We went through our sin nature in line with God's authority. And you either serve God or man. So if we're not serving God, we're serving man, ourself, our ego, we talked about stubbornness and some of those other words we use to cover up sin. He's just assertive when you're being when you're being sinful. Sometimes it's called assertiveness to cover it up. And then we talked about total depravity, meaning it's not a degree, it's an extent, the poison water, if you remember. Then 2 weeks ago, we talked about the conflict that happened after the fall, and what was in conflict after the fall?
Everything.
Good. Everything. Body, ground, God, man, Satan, everything was in conflict, no longer in harmony. Then we talked about conflict, and this was at a request that we get more deeper. We get deeper into conflict and conflict management and conflict resolution. So that's why we're spending several weeks on this, because a couple of people asked specifically to do that. So there was a bunch of verses we talked about on conflict. If you're going to sum up the verses on conflict in the Bible, what would you say about them? What do they call us to do? Put others before ourselves. That's really the key to most of those verses. There's a lot of ones about keep your mouth shut, opening your ears, listen, soft answer, thinking before we speak. which all of that goes to putting others before ourselves, looking for their position. Then the last couple weeks, we got into a conflict management summary, I would say, and it comes from Dr. Lulofs, who taught me a long time ago about this. And what I've done since is gone back to that training, which has been powerful and useful in my life. And what I've found when things are powerful and useful in my life that aren't necessarily from Scripture, I go and guess what I can find? Scripture that backs it all up. It's biblical. So maybe not have been written in a biblical sense, but I can go back and find a biblical principle for all the powerful techniques that I was taught, thinking they were just techniques and not realizing these are out of God's Word. That's why they're successful. It's not because it's a great technique. It's because it's from God's Word. So each of those verses is part of that. And then the key is the look at yourself first. So we went through a short recipe, you might say, for conflict resolution. First thing we should do anytime we're in any conflict is pray. Remember I talked about car accident? And when Eric was first driving, I gave him the piece of paper. If you're in a car accident, this is what to do. And it's because at work they give us those. And you have to call Cedric, you got to call the insurance, you call the VP, you got to call the EHS manager, you got to call your manager, they have all these people. And so at work I said, nobody's going to remember this when you're in a car accident, so come out with this. So I did one for Eric, and Eric, do you remember what it said at the top? Pray. First thing, pray. So if you're in a car accident, what should you do?
Pray.
Do we do that? I'm not going to ask. But it's the first thing you should do is pray. Pray for what? What should you pray for?
An ambulance.
Safety? Maybe the ambulance driver will get there fast. That's not a bad...
Praise
that I'm not hurt?
Or that you haven't hurt someone else.
That you have a prayer that you haven't hurt someone else? What else can you pray for?
Thankfulness.
Thankfulness to be alive?
A godly example.
What was that? A godly example, not screaming and yelling at, why did you run into me, idiot? That happened to you guys not too long ago. It's happened to you a couple times. Yeah. Kyle?
That God would give us what we need in that moment.
There you go. I was going to say calm heart. That's what I would want, but what we need, because to both Peggy and Kyle's, my breathing would be elevated and I'd be agitated and worried and nervous. And yes, Debbie?
A lot of times when I'm driving to Los Osos, I'm driving along that canal that's right near the water. Mm-hmm. And I'm praying then, Lord, please don't let a car run me off the road.
Right.
I do carry a hammer in my car.
Right.
Yeah. It's a prayer that I have actually when I'm driving that I would have that.
Right.
Let's say that before. To break the window so I get out.
If you're submerged under.
Yeah, I am truly fearful of being in my car in that canal.
So practical, there's a handy little tool. You can buy it on Amazon. You can get it at Home Depot probably. It's about this big. It has a hammer in it. And then on the other side, it has a seatbelt knife. And it's a razor that's protected. And it's for cutting open your seatbelt, because you're not going to want to fumble, and if there's electronics in your car, your seatbelt may not function if it's an electronic seatbelt. So it has a little razor on the other side, and you slit it. It's a parachute knife is what it is on the other side. So it's like a $10 item. I don't have one. I carry a knife everywhere I go, several of them actually. So there you go, just snip it with your little Swiss Army knife. Okay, so back to the point of the story is that in those moments of conflict, we're not typically thinking of prayer first. Why not? And think about the class. The answer's in the class, like three slides before. What? Say it loud. Sin nature. We're sinful. So the first thing we don't think of is godly stuff when we're in a bad spot. We think of earthly stuff. When I find out who ran me off the road into this canal and I'm all wet, my shoes are wet, I'm going to serve some justice on them, right? I'm going to take care of them. That's what my thoughts are, not usually, wow, I should pray about this situation for a calm heart, that God will supply what I need. How about this? That God would be glorified in this situation. That's our job, glorify God and enjoy Him forever, so that God would be glorified. If you're ever stumped to pray, don't know what to pray about, what should you pray about? I just gave you the answer.
That God would be glorified.
God would be glorified. You can't go wrong with that one. God, I pray that you would be glorified in this situation, in this conflict, whether it's a car accident or an argument with a loved one or somebody at work or at the supermarket or online. Those are conflicts, by the way, when you're talking to the customer service person and they're not treating you as a customer or giving you service, right? Or dealing with human resources, as Rick says, they're not humane nor a resource oftentimes. Those are conflicts to pray, that God would be glorified. What happens with me when I pray that is I'm convicted immediately of my role in the situation. Okay, if God's going to be glorified, it's not going to happen with me comporting myself in a sinful manner. So I need to check my heart and repent. And so that's usually what comes second. But then question yourself, your humility. ID the problem. What is the problem? What's at heart? And we'll get into some of that root cause stuff in a second here. And then in light of Scripture, everything that's gone on before should be looked at in light of Scripture. Can I find a Scripture about this? If you don't have a concordance, get one. Or look on your iPhone. Yes.
I learned that when we, you know, glorifying God, we have the tendency to forget to do that all day long.
Every second.
And I guess the right way to, when we do that, I guess we need to repent for not doing that. And it's just hard sometimes to glorify God in a situation, but I'm learning. Can I say learning? Because I haven't learned quite good yet.
In the process of learning.
In the process of learning.
Like most of us.
Everything that happens to me is for a growing process in God's world to me.
Mm-hmm.
To realize, listen, I told you, but yet you did it. You got a ticket for speeding. You know you're breaking the law. But the deal is, when things happen, I tell people, and they look at me and say, well, you know, I'm sorry for your dad, but somehow God will make this right.
Yeah.
Somehow, maybe not to you, but maybe later on, somebody else in there will be glorified and understand that part of why me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always, I tell people, why not you? You're not any different than
us. Yeah, you're not special. Two comments, Joey. One, I'm going to talk about this a little bit tonight, I think. Rick said this probably couple months ago, and it really impacted me. He said, every trial we go through is custom made for you. Everything you go through. And think about something that's custom made. How special is something custom made? Shoes, shirts, whatever. Right? Oh, at work we play this game, is he wearing a tailored shirt? Because there's some pretty rich people that we run around with, and tailored shirts are very expensive. And a lady sales rep taught me, look for the seam. There's a seam right here. What it does, she said, they cut that out so all this stuff goes away, so it's not all flapping around. And I thought, wow, that's really neat. That shirt is custom made. How much do those cost? And she told me, and I was like, wow, that's too expensive. I'll wear the Costco shirts that I wear and let them flap around. People think I look weird. They think I look weird. I'm already a creepy dad, right? So might as well embrace the creepiness. Custom made, though, things are special. Any tool you have, anything you have, your eyeglasses, my contacts, when they're custom made for my eye to the shape of my eye and the certain distance or not distance I need to see. That's specialness. So think about what Rick said. Every trial is custom made for you. So God's preparing that based on whatever your situation is, going, Joey needs this right now. And remember what's God's providence about? Protective care. He cares about us, so he's creating this trial. God's a creator. He's creating a trial just for you to go through. That's powerful. So that's A, about what you said. And then two, what I think about Joey in those moments is Joseph. When you said, who am I? Joseph, in my opinion, has the worst life up until a point. I mean, his brothers are wicked to him, terrible to him. He becomes a slave. He gets put in jail, threatened with death. And at no part in Scripture does it say Joseph said, why, God, are you doing this to me? And that's what I would have been doing. Why me? How come? How come you're doing this? And what comes back to the prayer point is that if we're driven to prayer, or a lot of times I say, I'm driven to prayer by trial and tribulation. And I'm convicted of that, that I don't pray enough. But if I'm in trouble, what's the first thing we do when we got a problem? God, help! Help! I need help! Not praise God, that the shootout this morning was over in time for me to get to church. Because my wife was like, do you know what time it is? I said, it's Russia and Spain. I have to see who wins the shootout. It's the finals. Russia won. So But is that something we can praise God for? Yes. Yes, it is.
Just like our trials are tailor-made, our blessings are tailor-made for us too. What is a blessing to one may not be a blessing to another.
Exactly, because you wouldn't have cared about that, right? What
right.
I just... I know you don't. And most people don't. But what I was thinking about, because Krista was coming to do the thing and she didn't get to see it. And I thought, you know what? As I was getting out of the car right now, I thought, you know what? If I hadn't got to see it, what would I have been doing in my little head?
Thinking about it.
And grumbling about it. Man, how come they couldn't have gone faster in the ref and they would have finished 8 minutes earlier? I would have been able to see the end of this. Right? Silly blessing, I think, but it's a blessing nonetheless. Tailor-made for us. So then we came to Matthew 18, which is the conflict, 101. And a couple of take heeds that I want to draw our attention to is don't rush this process. That's our tendency. When we're wronged, we want justice quick. Let's get to court. Let's get this thing over. You sinned against me. Admit it. And so we can move on. Whereas in vice versa, if we're being confronted, we're like, whoa, that's not how I saw it. Let's take our time and let's, figure this out. If we're seeking the truth, we're not in a rush to judge. Rush to judgment is typically a sign of poor thinking. Not always, but typically is. And then did you frame their behavior? If you did the exact same thing to them, would you be viewing it the same way? Typically answer is no. All right, so then we talked about why conflict happens. There's miscommunication. There's different perceptions. There's different preferred outcomes. I had a different expectations for Liz's good counsel. And different values. So those are the reasons we run into conflict. Then we asked, does past conflict influence future? We agreed that it does. We looked at the balancing of the goal of the relationship, preserving the relationship, or preserving winning the conflict or the argument. And then sober-minded, I'm going to read what he says again because I think it's powerful. This is in Romans 12:13. For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think, this is the opposite of thinking highly, do not think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Keeping the mind of sobriety is our object in the conflict. Keep a sober mind, which means it's our mind is stayed on God's truth, which means we're glorifying God. So if you want to come back to that first thing, work on glorifying God, we'll get there. Treat truth seriously and have a healthy doubt as to your own understanding of truth. So take truth seriously and then doubt. Am I reading this right? Do I see this correctly? That's a healthy doubt of ourselves. What is our healthy doubt usually focused on?
Somebody else,
right? I bet you they did that. I think the reason Krista did that, just because she wanted to, we're mind readers all of a sudden. But when it's ourselves, we don't have that healthy doubt. Maybe I'm seeing this wrong. That's happened 10 times, but maybe all 10 were an accident. We have a hard time logically and rationally with that, but it might be true. And then whoever has the strongest faith is held to the highest standard, so be careful what you wish for, right? Then we talked about this. This is out of that book, and it's a summary of that, or it's Dr. Luloff's graphic of that thing we talked about. My way, your way, trying to win versus trying to preserve the relationship. Neither one is wrong or right. And we talked about crying. Remember we talked about crying? And it is not always a manipulation tool, as most non-criers would sometimes say. As much as shouting someone down is a manipulation tool, that most people that shout down won't say it's manipulation or using intimidation. When I get up into somebody's personal space when I'm having an argument, is that sinful to do that?
Yes.
It's using intimidation and looking down at them. And I'm going to change the way I talk when I'm talking to you. Is that sinful? Way to handle a conflict? You better believe it. But it's acceptable. It's okay to do it. You all right, Joey? Did I make you nervous? That is a technique, just like crying can be a technique. It isn't always, but both of them are techniques. All right, so then typical approaches, demanding, this is the aggressive approach. Avoiding is the opposite of that. I just don't want any Switzerland in this thing. Let's just not talk about this. Let's just do something else. Giving in, different from avoiding, and then bargaining and problem solving. What I think of when I think of this is, have you heard fight or flight? You heard about that? They say our We've been created with this fight and flight system, meaning when you're in a conflict, we do one of two things. We either fight, we get aggressive, and adrenaline gets secreted, and all these different hormones get secreted, and it prepares us for the conflict, or we run. There's a guy, Colonel Grossman, wrote several books, fascinating books, and he postulates it's more than that. He said it's fight, flight, posture, submit. He's not a Christian, I don't believe. I should have done that. And what he says is, if you look at animals, we'll pick dogs. If a dog's going to fight, how do they act? Their hair comes up, not as much.
Lips come, teeth.
Show their teeth. Do fighting dogs bark? If the dog is barking, he's afraid of you. That's posturing. But if they don't bark at you, they're ready to go. So that's fight. It's very rare that dogs fight, by the way, like really, really fight. They fight defensively. Dogs usually don't kill one another, other than certain breeds. I'm digressing. Yeah. Fight. Flight is just run. That's take off, run, right? Posture is the one you guys were talking about. The hair stands up, show the teeth. Cobras do this with that hood. What are they trying to do? They're trying to say, you don't want to mess with this. Humans do it too, by the way. You see some guys starting to fight, they stick their chest out. Come on. Right? Do I look like I'm ready to fight? Dale, dale. Right? Come on, let's go. I'm posturing. Look how big and wide and alpha I am. That's posture. And then submit. You see dogs, what do dogs do when they submit? They just roll over and show their most vulnerable part. I'm done. I'm not doing this. I think about those when I think about that fight, flight, posture, submit. They actually fit very well. Two different people writing two different books dovetail. So there's different ways to approach a conflict. And then the final one is problem solving, which is what Dr. Luos drives to, as she thinks is the ideal one. I don't want to get into that. But here's styles and what I want to talk about you now, I think. I think I want to talk about you. Where's my notes? The only thing I would ask you to think about is which of these styles are you the most comfortable with? You like to confront? Do you like to compromise? Are you a smoothing person? Just smooth this all out. Do you use power? Use of power? Or are you a coalition builder? Wants to get people to get along. In conflict management, there's a style that's called Red Cross. And somebody I know very well is a master at this style. And it's called Red Cross by us. It's not called Red Cross in here. But it's smoothing. Let's just get this all along. These people are fascinating to me because I don't have this ability. And what they do is they pick on the weaker side, not pick, they support the weaker side even in the same argument. If I'm beating Joey in the argument and Loopy's a Red Crosser or a soother, she'll say, Ben, but didn't you think about this? And then I soften and then he attacks me and she flips. And the reason it's fascinating to me is because I don't have that capability. I don't have the ability to do it, to change like that. My mind's made up. I know who's right and I know who's wrong, and we're not going to budge from that. This is the way it's going to go. And if you don't like it, so which style am I? Huh? Power? Use of power. I'm not as confrontational, but I am a use of power because I'm not confrontational. Anybody know anybody that's confrontational in their argument style? Somebody really close to you? Is he related to anybody that has a confrontational style? Exactly. I want to know right now who's confrontational. That'd be a making a confrontation out of the confrontation. That's what Kyle was attempting to do. That's pretty confrontational style. Now, which is the right style? Which is the style that's sinful? All of them. All of them are sinful. Why? Go back to like 8 slides before. Exactly.
I mean, depending, like, use of power as a mom. You know, like, the Bible says I can...
Use your power.
Like, unilaterally tell my kids yes. to do something, but I can also do that in a way that provokes them.
Exactly. Later, so. Beautiful point. All are sinful because of our sin nature. All can be biblical. Well said. All can be biblical. It depends on how they are utilized and for whose benefit, or a different word for benefit, I would say, is maybe whose glory. Are we seeking here? So remember, this all goes together, I promise. If you think back to what we're supposed to be doing is use the technique Some people call these clubs in a bag. Oh, this has got about 30 yards. I'm going to take a 6-iron. Or I don't know anything about golf, but don't critique my choice of club. Rick's not here. So I'm going to use a blah, blah, blah club. When I play with him, I just grab whatever. And he's like, what are you doing? I said, I can't hit the ball anyway. So what does it matter? What? I can use a shovel and it's not going to matter. Use the umbrella. But there's a technique. Or the other analogy, and this is one I use at work, is do you know who Bruce Lee is? Short history of Bruce Lee, a martial artist, blah, 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 invented his own martial art called the Tao of Jeet Kune Do, which he took a little bit of this and a little bit of that, a little bit of that style, a little bit of this style, and he made his own martial art out of it. And he said his phrase was, adopt what is useful, reject what is useless, and add something that's your own. And what he created was this style of fighting. To me, this is a Jeet Kune Do. If you want to develop the skill set to be effective at conflict management, then you need to be able to adopt different styles based on what she told us, based on the situation. Which one does this call for? Is this appropriate now? Is this God-honoring in this situation to use this? Her comment about being a mother, that use of power in certain sense, is the God-honoring thing in the moment when that kid needs to be treated that way. That's the righteous thing to do, to use power in that moment. Somebody's in danger. Something really terrible is going to happen. That's the time to be assertive, not the time to smooth it over or compromise. Well, I want 10 cookies before dinner. All right, let's have a compromise. We'll let you have 5. Is that a good mother move right there? Krista says yes. Krista says yes. Everyone else disagrees, I think. But that would be a compromise that's sinful. It's inappropriate. Assuming cookies are bad. You've got to be careful. All right, so back to this. What we're going to do now is, so here's some tools that we talked about last week that are usually can be used by a mediator. Remember, a mediator is a third party that's trying to get both sides to see the other side's style. So we're going to come back to this slide, I believe. So this is what I want to focus on for the remaining time. Responsible. I know that word is not hyphenated. I did it on purpose. Responsible conflict communication. So what do you know about communion? What does communion mean? Closeness, right? Togetherness. So if we're communicating, it should be seeking this closeness. If we're in a conflict, are we typically seeking a closeness with the other person? So it's very difficult. Very difficult to do at all. Very difficult to do well, let alone all the time well, or well all the time. And then the responsible, when you are communicating, when we are speaking, what is our expectation? If I say something, blah, 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 I expect it's happening right now. Huh? That you listen, but it's not a monologue. And how do I know that the hearer gets it? Or
feedback.
Oh, it's right there. Response. Oh, a response. I'm looking for a response. So when we're communicating, we are looking for a response, whether we believe it or not. I had to get taught this by my wife a long time ago, and now I have a technique I use that was taught to me. When she's speaking, and I hear her, and I'm processing, and I'm thinking, and she hasn't asked me a question, she's just saying some stuff, I have to do this. Huh. What does that mean? What does that mean? I heard you. I'm processing. I think slower than you do. I haven't thought about this yet. This is new information to me. I'm trying to stick it where I stick it. Then I'll come back, right? Because I have my little box in my brain that she just, you know, opened up this box in my brain, right? Kyle's nodding. He knows what I'm talking about. Huh. And I'm off the hook. That doesn't mean that. It was a conflict for her on our marriage. Are you even listening to me? Yes, I heard it. What? I'm not deaf. I heard it. Well, I'm kind of deaf, but I'm not that deaf. I've heard every word you said. Kyle.
My wife just gave me an important cautionary note. Just be careful with that tool, because we're expected as husbands to actually have a response. We can take the time, but we can't, like...
It's not a cop-out.
It's not a cop-out.
Agreed. Agreed. And my issue was, I'm thinking, processing, putting this in, and I'll come back to you with the perfect answer, by the way. I'll refute every point you just made. Just give me a couple minutes. Got to get my stuff together. Right? It is bad, Peggy, you're right. Hey, I'm just keeping it 100. Keeping it real. All right. So here's the technique for responsible communication. So if we're looking to get a response, by the way, and I'm speaking, I'm waiting for the response from you. And then when you're speaking, you're waiting for the response from me. Do you see how it's focused on the other person? I'm only talking to get you to respond. And then you're only going to talk to get me to respond. So we're both, it's like two people from the UK fighting over the check. I'll get it. No, I'll get it. No, I'll get it. No, I'll get it. And it goes on for an hour because nobody wants to say, you pay for it. So four statements. The first one is a feeling statement. Which gender typically has problems with this type of statement? Male, typically. We don't like to say how we feel, typically. Some men do. So this is how you would start this responsible communication in terms of conflict. If you have a conflict with somebody, I feel, not you make me feel, or when you do this, I feel, it just says, I feel. You're stating a statement. You're making a statement. I feel. Then the second part is, when do you feel that way? Because a lot of times we can stop there. You make me mad. Or I feel mad right now. And then we're thinking, why? Which thing is it that I did? Because it's a lot of stuff I do. So I feel blank, whatever that word is, when I, you know, it's not I, it's not you, it's when I, because I believe, or I think, you can say that, not I know, that's typically what we say, goal, and I'd like, or I wish, or I want, or I desire, etc. So let's pick some disagreements and go back and forth. I have a couple for you. I'll do it wrong. Let me do a wrong one. You know what? I'm not supposed to use feel, but I'm going to do it half wrong and half wrong. I feel really angry when you're nagging me all the time and criticizing every little thing I do because I do a lot of stuff that's good and you never acknowledge it. So what did I miss in that? Well, I said a feeling statement. That's a struggle for me. I got the feeling. But did I have an outcome or a goal? I was just making a statement. I'm not looking for a response in that. I feel angry because you nag and criticize me all the time, and you shouldn't because I do some stuff right. Okay, maybe you do some stuff right, but what's this conflict about? Right? So you're not getting to the heart of what are we arguing about? What are we discussing here? What's the response that we want? And how close do you feel to me in that moment? Very far, right? Exactly. Right. All right. So how about this one? This is a church one. Ready? I'm going to read this and see if it lines up well with this. So there's a conflict. Let's pick a topic that sometimes there's a conflict in a church about. Let's pick music. I feel disappointed when I come to church and don't hear any familiar songs because I really believe it is important for us to connect with the traditions of the church. I'd really like it if you could include at least one hymn every week for us to sing. That's an actual conflict taken from an actual person, not this church, somewhere along in Los Angeles, far, far away. But is that a good conflict, responsible communication there? I'll read it again. I feel disappointed when I come to church and don't hear any familiar songs because I really believe it is important for us to connect with the traditions of our church. I'd really like it if you could include, goal, at least one hymn every week for us to sing. They're not making value judgments or statements. Now a argument, in the good sense of the word, can take place. This is me responding to that person. So how do you see the hymn connecting you with the traditions of the past? I'm not giving in. I'm not lying down. Maybe I don't want any hymns in this church. We're going to, you know, not do hymns. I'm not saying that. This is hypothetical. That's something people are like, what? Yeah. He's been said. So then that gives a response. Well, because that's my response. Well, you know, the hymns were written in the 1500s, and, you know, that's a long time ago, and that's the saints. Okay, good point. I hear what you're saying. You want some older songs. So is there a certain date that you're looking for? You want pre-16 or pre-13, or you want after is post this era. And that's a positive interaction because I'm finding out, well, what do you consider a hymn? What do you consider a traditional song? What do you consider? Now we're getting somewhere in terms of resolving the conflict. Well, I want at least one hymn written before 1400, you know, AD. Okay, good. Now we can think about that. And then the question or thought is, I'd really like it if you'd include at least one hymn. Not all of them, and I'd really like it. I'm leaving the church, I'm quitting, I think you're a bad person, value judgment, ad hominem attack, my demand is this. I'd really like it if you. What that does for humans, 90-something percent of us, in that moment of humility on the other party, is we have a very hard time, most people, stepping on someone's neck when they're down, is how we say it, getting aggressive in that moment. I'm not going to take ground in that moment because I want to help you. I'd really like it if. It would be very helpful if. By God's grace, that's most people are like that. When we see humility, it begets humility. It grows, and it grows and grows. Biblical, by the way. Kyle, were you going to say something? Did you have a comment? Yes.
Oh, so it's traditional. Well, when is that? Is that before 1500? Was that written by Calvin? Was that written? And
I just want to say something I know.
So one of the things that I'm still struggling with and learning is that sometimes when these feelings are expressed, the individual expressing them is also on somewhat of a process of discovery. They're not sure why they feel the way they do or what that means. And that doesn't mean it's illegitimate, you know, from a biblical, scriptural sense. And as a learning Christian male, I am learning to take those and reflect on them and seek open-ended questions to respond with. So tell me more about traditional hymns. What might be some of those? Could we sung some in the past so that I know? And be very have an attitude of humility as well versus the, well, what is traditional? And really, the lawyer them to death kind of thing is definitely a temptation I have.
Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about open-ended questions. A very powerful technique when we, by God's grace, use it. Open-ended question is one that cannot be answered how?
Yes.
With one word, right? It's impossible, with quotes. Anybody, you can do it. You can do the thing. So a visitor walks in. What's an open-ended question you can ask them?
How are you today?
But that's not what you want to know, really. What do you want? Okay, stop. What do you want to know about that person? What? Why are you here? Ask it. But don't ask it like that. Why are you here? That would be Kyle lawyerly. What are you doing here?
How did you find out about us?
What brings you to New Hope this morning? That's a very good question. It's a trade show question. It's trade show 101. If you ever work a trade show, what brings you to the trade show, Joey? Not what do you do for a living, it's what brings you to the trade show? And you get a story, usually, because you're looking for responsible communication. I want to get closer to this person that I've never met at a trade show. And then I find out they don't want to buy anything. I don't want anything to do with them. I'm going to go talk to somebody else. My purpose is not served. So let's think of another conflict. If somebody wants to share, welcome. What's a conflict you have? And we'll practice this right now. I'm going to pick on somebody, and I have a ready-made conflict, by the way.
All right, Ben, go ahead.
Okay. You want to role-play with me?
Let's do it.
Okay. So this is a real-life situation, and you're going to play my wife, and I'll play me. And this goes back several years, 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, yesterday. Okay. So it goes back. It's a long, ongoing conflict. We're not going to solve it in 2 minutes or less. So I'm working lots of hours, Kyle, lots of hours, traveling a lot. I'm in Mexico, and then I'm in Vietnam, and then I'm in China, and then I'm all over the place, right? And then I come home, and what kind of conflict might I have? Okay, you're being very specific.
What do you want?
Okay, so then the next week I'm working late, many hours, and don't come home for dinner, and I miss work, and I go right to bed when I get home. I crash. As soon as I get walk in the house, I crash out.
Are we ever going to have time
together? Are we? See, Janelle. Janelle's going to play Bethel now. What might the wife be thinking? Everybody help her out in that moment. I need you. Are you ignoring me? Why are you ignoring me? Are we ever going to hang out together? Can we have some one-on-one time? Are you ever going to speak to me? And then what's my response going to be in that moment?
It's my work.
I'm doing this for you. Are you kidding me? I'm working all these hours for you people. If it wasn't for you people, I wouldn't be having to work all these hours. Yeah. Is this a real? That's why you have all the fits. Not that you're familiar with this conflict, right? Helping out, right? Yeah. Get your you're getting your hair did, you're getting your nails did, and that's because I'm working all these hours, right? So I'm out of time. What I want to pick up next week, we'll resolve this, Lord willing. We'll use the techniques to resolve this, so you guys can practice if you want at home. But the point of the conflict is trying to get responsible communication. And on purpose, I set it up bad, right? And if you think about what Janelle said to me, did she use the techniques properly?
No.
She said, well, are we ever going to spend any time together? She asked me a really good question. Question. That's not a question, what she asked. That was a statement. Posed as an interrogative, but it's a statement. It is not a question. You can pretend it's a question, but it's not. So she failed, which we most of us do, and then I failed in my response.
It had a question mark.
It did have a question mark on it. Doesn't mean it's a question. probably had an emoji on it too, because if she texted me, she's big on the emojis. So we'll practice on this one next week, and then we'll get into what comes next after conflict, which we hope is resolution. What's the key R to resolution? Almost every time, because we're sinful, repentance, right? That's what's going to come. By the way, if you're in a conflict, you're sinning. Guaranteed. Even if you're doing it really well. Guess what? The other person, they're sinning too. So there's always repentance in God-honoring conflict resolution. Every one I've been involved in that ends in a godly way ends with repentance. On both sides. Both sides. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God of peace and unity, and that we do have your word that can teach us and guide us